All right. All right, now that, can you guys see that? Everybody? Okay. All right, so we're just going to talk about how to take care of yourself and your new baby during the holidays, because I think I had Grayson the week before Christmas, and it was a challenge. So we're going to talk kind of about that, about some self-care, and then we're going to brainstorm together so that, man, Taylor, I wish you could let people in. So I want to talk about what you guys think this looks like as well. So I want to be interactive. So if you guys have like thoughts about things, I think the first thing that I learned with having a baby and going through like the ends of pregnancy, because Taylor and I were talking this morning too, for those of you guys who might be due after the holidays or during, like people driving you crazy, asking questions, is the baby here? Like all of those things as well. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But the first thing that I learned having a baby in the holidays was to just let go of my expectations of what holidays have always looked like and what I felt that they should continue to look like. And especially having other kids, I felt like it needed to look the same for them, like to keep up those traditions and do the exact same things. And I had this expectation that I would do just fine and love Christmas like I normally do, and all the things would be the same internally as well. And I found out really quickly that it was not the case. Like it's the only baby I've had in the winter. So that was new for me as well. But it was a real learning curve. Like I was really shocked at what internally was happening for myself. So I guess the first thing I would tell you guys is to let go of whatever expectations and just be willing to be flexible and move with the curves that you experience. Kayla, I'm gonna pick on you real quick. Do you guys have anything that you've planned for the holidays, or have you changed your normal plans?
Yes. So I said pretty early on, I knew we were going to be, Ainsley was going to come right as the holiday season was starting. And both our families, Steve and I, our families are very, very involved, and certain holidays are very important. But I knew I wasn't going to want to have to worry about traveling with her, especially being so young. We live about 45 minutes from our families. And I've seen what my friends have gone through and my brother, and you don't get to enjoy anything. So Steve and I spoke and I said, this year, why don't we change up our tradition? So Thanksgiving, we're going to do Thanksgiving. We're not going to see our family. And then for Christmas, we decided, okay, Christmas Eve will be up to the grandparents to decide who's hosting. And then Christmas Day, we're going to start our tradition as a family, because we are a new family and it's important for us to start something special for just us. So that's been how we've tackled it.
I love that. And I love that you guys talked about it ahead of time instead of just like winging it at the end. And I'm assuming, and you've given family like the heads up, so they know the plans as well.
Yeah, exactly. My family, I was pretty open with them early on. With Steve's family, he dragged his feet a little bit, just because his mom, I love her to death. She can be a little intense sometimes. So to make sure like he worded it in a way that she wouldn't get upset and that she wouldn't understand. He only recently broke the news to her, and as far as I know, it went well. But you know, it was important to me that now as a family, we also start our own tradition, that we can still be with our extended families, but now we are a family unit. And I wanted to make sure that we celebrated that for her first Christmas.
Yeah. And I love that because I think a lot of us probably wouldn't do that when they're that little, but establishing it now is really going to save you for her 1-year-old Christmas next year, like in preparation. Cause that, you know, so yeah. So that kind of goes into the next one, which is blocking all pressure. And what I'm talking about that is like, some people just don't realize how rude they can be when they want things their way. And when you have new parents, I think that it like, well, even when you have like, when your children get married and you have extended family members now, like it's so important to be like laid back and graceful about it. And so I really want you guys to learn how to block that pressure. And it only becomes what you let it become inside of you, like mentally and emotionally. So learning to kind of block that and be like, okay, you know, like if this person's having a problem with it, that's their problem, not our problem, because this is what we've decided. Have any of you guys experienced any outside pressure as to what people think you should do, even with having a new baby and visitations and all of that? Or do you guys anticipate having a problem? No. Taylor, how's it been for you? You have a pretty good relationship.
Yeah, I could resonate a lot with what Kayla was saying because with Dave's family, their tradition was always on Christmas Eve. So they would do their gifts and everything on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas morning, they had breakfast together and like we're immediately together. So it's kind of like Christmas Eve into Christmas morning. So we've kept the tradition that their family is with on Christmas Eve. But then on Christmas morning, to me, I just like Kayla, even when Ivy was that young, like I just wanted it to be us. Like I didn't want to have the craziness of everyone around. And like, I just wanted Christmas morning to just be Dave, myself, and Ivy. And so I had to say to like to Dave and to my in-laws, like, I don't really want to do Christmas dinner. Now, to throw a mega loop into this, that was a lot easier back when we didn't live together. My in-laws live in my basement. So now it's the, like, I still want to have Christmas morning, just the three of us, but I can't control who they have over down in their house. Right. So now my sister-in-law and brother-in-law still want to come over for Christmas morning brunch. Well, if my kid hears her cousin in the basement, she's going to want to go play with them. So there's just a lot of like open communication and give and take. Like, this is something that's important to me. And so my mother-in-law and father-in-law like understand that. And so they've kind of like pushed back that Christmas morning breakfast that they always have together to later in the morning so that we can have that time as a family on Christmas morning, just the three of us. And like, that's something that's important to me. And like, if I'm being blunt, I don't really care if it upsets someone else, you know? And I think that that's where we have to get past. We talk about this in labor too, like constantly having to please other people. I'm sorry if that's not how you're going to handle your Christmas morning, but that's what's important to me as a family. And I'm allowed to have my own set of beliefs and wants as a mom. I don't have to accommodate what you've done in your family for the last 35 years. Like, I don't have to do that. I can do it a different way.
Yeah. I think it's really important to validate all those feelings. And like Taylor said, and I tell this to the girls all the time, like, if you make a mistake and choose the wrong thing, that's okay. Yep. It's your mistake. You realize you're like, oh, well, maybe I don't like how I planned it this year. That's okay. You're not married to it. You can do something differently next year. So like just being flexible, even with yourself and even blocking the pressure that you might give to yourself, like Taylor said, being a, you know, wanting to people please, or, you know, there's also the added stress. If you and your partner don't agree about it, that can be a difficulty as well. So having to navigate that, you know, can be a lot of conversations early. You want to talk about it early. Don't wait, like, don't avoid it. Don't like, you know how, like, you just don't look at that train wreck. You need to look at it and talk about it and come up with a plan that works for both of you, you know? But ultimately, Taylor's right. Like, it really doesn't matter what the other people think. It's what matters about what in your house, like, well, in the upper story of your house.
It's my house.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing that I would say is just simplifying it, like make it simple this year. Like if you have a new baby, if you're at the end of your pregnancy, make it simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. And, you know, pick a couple traditions that really matter to you. Like the baby is little, like they're not going to remember. If you have older kids, that's a little different. But just make it simple this year and easy on yourself, you know, and we're going to talk about some different things that you guys can do to do that.
I just want to add in that I do think that COVID over the last couple of years has allowed us to kind of get creative with these things as well. When gatherings weren't happening and sickness and all of that. Last Christmas, on Christmas Eve, we literally all tested positive for COVID. And we were all together in my in-law's basement, and my niece started coughing and sneezing. And so we tested her. Well, she was positive, and then we all were positive. So Christmas last year, like, you know, no hard feelings because we had to do what we had to do. I wasn't going to go to my parents. I wasn't seeing my elderly grandmother. And so we got creative. Christmas looked very different last year. And I think that there are ways to still make it special. Like my parents dropped off Christmas dinner to our front porch and we FaceTimed at the dinner table. And like, if there's anything that came out of COVID and quarantine and all of that, there are different ways to go about family gatherings. It doesn't always have to look like what it looked like in the past. And last year, although I was devastated, I knew like this is temporary and it's going to look different this year, or it can look different. So there are other ways to go about it. It doesn't have to be what you've done your entire life.
Yeah. I 100% agree. Like give yourself that like permission that this year might just look different. Or whatever, you know, whatever it is when the baby's coming, that period of life. And just, you know, this has been in the Fearless Birth Facebook group, this has been a common thread of setting boundaries and having problems with their like in-laws. And, you know, it's so interesting to me how difficult some people can be when they don't perceive that they're getting their way. And so it's a hard thing. But what I have found from years of having to practice this is that the more you set boundaries and you're firm on them, the more people realize you're not gonna like flake on them and they won't push them as hard. So I mean, doing it as early as possible in this baby's life is probably going to set you up for even good parenting because they will push as hard as they can on your boundaries too. So that's a really, you know, good thing to do, setting boundaries. And then just remembering to slow down, like listen to your body. And if you need to rest, rest. If your baby needs to rest, let your baby rest. And we're going to talk about the baby specifically in just a minute. I want to see, tell me, because I can't see everybody, all your information. So maybe in the chat room, tell me when everybody's due. I'm looking to see what everyone's saying. Laura said, my mom's expecting us to come over. They already set boundaries with the in-laws. So I'll have to break the news. We're with you, Laura. You got it. I haven't had anyone ask and I haven't thought about it too much. Going to be alone. So I think the most important thing will be surviving and routine. Kara was born January 12th. So her first Christmas, we went to my husband's family in Georgia. And then this year we're going to California. Third Christmas, we're staying home and starting our own. I love it. Having a baby at Christmas time is no joke. Boundaries are not bad. Boundaries are good. They're healthy. Absolutely. 100%. So Kelly is due 11/27. Not long. Oh my gosh. That is not long at all. That's what, next Sunday, a week from Sunday. Wait a minute, Ashley, you're definitely not due 10/8 or we're in trouble. Like, this is not okay. We do not support that here. Baby's daddy and I already established that we aren't sharing when I'm in labor. No one's coming to the hospital. No one's coming over. Good. I love it, Hannah. 12-8. Yeah. So you guys are, there's going to be some of these things. So let me, ooh, what I do. All right. So talking about caring for yourself, really, you know, again, depends on like where you're at. If you're less than 6 weeks postpartum, then you really probably should just be chilling out. Really I want you guys strong in saying no anyway. And then I put host, but not, because another, if you're the one who wants family and you want to have the normal holidays or whatever, consider having, if baby's less than 6 weeks, having the event at your house, like you provide the place, but let everybody else do all the work. So everyone brings something to provide for the meal or what have you. And then be very specific about timing. Like it's going to be from blank to blank. Don't leave it open-ended. Or if it is open-ended and you're, you know, like with my family, we're pretty laid back. So if my family were here and I needed to go lay down, that would not be a problem. You know, being willing to like take care of yourself and not feel like you have to entertain or be down there or feel responsible, and just setting that clearly ahead of time. I do think that if you're planning to get with family, probably be easier to go to their house so that you can leave and go home. But it really just depends. Everybody's family dynamics are different. And the other thing, like Taylor and I were talking, even creating yourself a little postpartum kit to go to take if you're going somewhere. I would hate for you guys less than 6 weeks to be traveling very far. That would not be comfortable, because you know, you're still, especially if you have hemorrhoids or stitches or you have a cesarean, you are not wanting to be on your booty for any period of time. So I would really also consider that, and consider the fact that you really don't know what the end result will be. So, you know, if you're due right around then, don't like be like, oh, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I'm so tough. And I, because you just don't know what you will experience in postpartum or how you will feel during postpartum. So that's again, where I'm saying like, just be flexible. Don't have high expectations. The worst feeling in the world is unmet expectations. So if you can lower those expectations and just be really like filled with grace for yourself, you're going to have a much better experience. Okay. So what we're going to do, I am going to stop sharing this. Let me go over here. I'm going to try our whiteboard again. Oh, what is happening? I can't get my screen going. Oh, there we go. Okay. Where are you guys? Let me get back to you guys. That's what happens when you have all these screens. I am going to try to share the whiteboard that I created for us. All right, there's that. So we can all share it, but how I do this, I don't know. Okay, here we go. All right, so we're gonna kind of brainstorm together, all right, on, you know, some different ways that you guys can go through the holidays. And like, here are some different things that you want to keep in mind if you have a new baby. Now, those of you who are due right before, you're probably not going to do anything but just rest. Let's see, Rhoda's coming in. I hope I haven't missed anyone. So I want you guys to kind of like think about like with, and I mean, Kayla's right in the midst of this, so she can probably give some really good tips. And I know, you know, we've got a couple on here that already have kids. So like when you guys are thinking about that initial period with baby and holidays, or whether people are coming to your house or you're going to theirs, like you need to think about, the first thing I would say is like, how comfortable are you with everyone holding baby or touching baby? Like anybody want to jump in on that?
I'm not comfortable at all. I mean, I'm due right after Thanksgiving, hopefully before, but I mean, with RSV and stuff and everything, and then like with everyone being at other holiday parties and being around so many people all the time, I'm like really worried, but I know it's going to be hard for everybody to not.
Leash.
So yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
So are you worried about like hurting their feelings or?
Like a little bit. I mean, I'm mostly worried about the health and safety of myself, my baby, and my baby daddy. And bringing anything like into our germ bubble. But yeah, I mean, like I already established like our initial boundaries, which I feel really good about. I also just like, I feel empathy towards, the grandparents, you know, like I realize that it's going to be hard for them not to hold baby, not to like snuggle and kiss and whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I still don't want them to do it.
Right. So I want us to brainstorm like ways that we can communicate that and to other people. One thing that I always say, and I was telling someone in the group, like you can always blame it like, oh, well, the pediatrician told us to blah. This is what we need to do, especially right now, you know, with RSV and COVID and all of that. But I think the other important part is making sure your partner's on board with that, because I can tell you from experience, if you're not on the same page and then your partner hands the baby to someone after you've agreed that you're, you know, no one's going to hold the baby or whatever. So you want to make sure you guys are on the same page as well.
Oh, for sure.
Anybody have any thoughts on like how they are handling this or tips on how to communicate it?
I've already changed.
Oh. Go ahead.
I've already changed kind of the visiting expectations now before the holidays. And my reasoning being one, RSV. I mean, I've seen way too many videos of little ones, you know, really suffering. And that to me is like, I want to do whatever I can to stop it. But my, you know, one of my sisters works with children. One works at a hospital. My sister-in-law works with the public. My mother-in-law spends time with her elderly mother. So like there are so many other factors. So I recently changed the policy. Like if you guys want to visit, you're welcome to visit. We need to go back to wearing masks and nobody's holding baby right now. So I'm already establishing that boundary. I think come the holidays, they may need some reminding, but I'm setting that boundary now because I don't want to have to deal with it in a month from now.
Yeah. And how did they handle that? And are you and your partner on the same page with it?
So Steve doesn't 100% agree, but he supports my ask. So he's communicating that expectation with me and, you know, we're putting up a united front. He doesn't 100% agree, because even I don't allow him to kiss the baby. Like we kiss the baby on her forehead, on her head, not on her cheeks, not on her face, not on her mouth, and we're her parents. But he's setting that expectation with me. My mother-in-law didn't take it very well because she wanted to come over this past weekend. And she said, well, then I'm just going to wait. And I told him, I said, well, then she's going to be waiting a while.
She didn't want to wear the mask, or
she didn't want to come and see us if she couldn't hold her. And I understand that for a grandmother, I'm sure is upsetting and I'm sympathetic to that. But I also, my main priority is the baby. So her reaction was, well, if I can't hold her, I'm not going to come. I don't think it's registered to her that this isn't just a right now thing, that we're going to feel this way for a little while. So we'll see, you know, come December how she feels, but that's kind of the expectation we set. My sister-in-law was fine with it. Both of my sisters were fine. The sister who's a nurse, she's like, oh, I respect your decision, but as a nurse, you know, don't forget that this is the time for her to have some exposure so that she can build an immune system. I don't feel that way. I feel she hasn't gotten her vaccinations yet. And the germs that everybody who wants to visit her are encountering are much bigger germs than even our germ bubble in the house is. So when I'm ready to change our visitation policy and people holding her, then I'll communicate that. But I feel like my decision is what's best for what I feel is best for her.
Right. And again, like I've told you guys before, it's what's best for your family. And at the end of the day, you might make mistakes and maybe with the next baby, you're like, I was a little overkill on that baby and I'm going to do this a little different or that a little different. And that's okay. It's about learning and evolving. And again, like, I don't like that she said she'll just wait. Like, I personally, even if I couldn't hold my grandchild, I would want to come see my grandchild. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was surprised when she said that, especially because she makes it a point to let us know that we haven't sent her any pictures of the baby. So I was surprised when she said that, because at least she could come here and see her and talk to her, but that was her choice.
Yeah. And ultimately, I guess it's her choice. Anybody else have any thoughts on that as well? Like visiting policy after a baby or holding, or, you know, my family is very Southern and my mom, I swear, will slobber all over my baby. Hopefully my mom's never in the community watching this, but my mother will also like pick up your spoon and eat your food and slobber. And so my mom, I would have had to just not let my mom around because she does not respect boundaries, anyone's. So does anybody have a family member like that, that they feel like worried that no matter what boundaries they set, they're just going to do what they want anyway? Laura, can you hop on and talk? Or someone was starting to talk. Who was it?
That was me, Ashley.
Oh, hey, Ashley.
Hey, that's my husband's side of the family, but we aren't seeing them this Christmas. I'm a little different on, so my family's coming up, but my brother has an autoimmune disease. So they are pretty like in their own bubble and don't go out a lot and stuff like that. So we all have to be really careful around him. So they're coming up for Christmas. And I'm going to tell them, like, you guys, if you want to hold baby, you need to wash your hands, all that stuff. But I'm going to make sure and tell them, like, I just had him. I would like time with him. Like, I'm going to come see you guys. And kind of get that bonding experience. And I know my family would take that well, but my husband's family would not take that well. And his parents are coming up to, his mom is coming up to help after New Year's. And she's a very sensitive person. So I am really struggling with that.
Yeah.
And how, cause like, I know hormones are like really high. So I'm trying to like figure out how to go about that situation, because my husband's going to be working and it's just going to be us at the house. So
yeah,
I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah, because you need to have freedom to just take the baby and go lay down if you want or something.
Yeah.
And not feel like you're going to hurt her feelings. Or but I would maybe set those expectations right from the beginning and be like, you know, I've really been thinking a lot about you being here. And I just want to let you know, like, if I go to lay down or I want to go be by myself, it's nothing to do with you. It's just this transition, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sensitive people are hard.
It's very difficult.
So much work.
Yeah. But I guess everybody, I hope that it goes well with all your families, all these talks, because this is a very difficult situation.
Yeah. And I think we all have levels, like, you know, I personally, was never like super over cautious as far as having visitors or whatever. There's definitely some things I wish I had gone made more boundaries as far as being in the hospital and immediately after coming home. But we did have meal trains with most of my babies. And I never let any of those people hold the baby. Like I would wear the baby or whatever, and they could see the baby from a distance. But I was pretty adamant about that. I was lucky in the fact that I lived in Tennessee and everyone else in my family lived in Florida. So I got off lucky. Usually my mom would come stay with me. But yeah, so I think just really figuring that out. Does anybody else feel like they're going to have a hard time if they're not wanting family to hold the baby or kiss the baby? Or, you know, I personally, and as a nurse, whenever family comes in to see a newborn, when it's my patient, I have had people, and this was pre-COVID, I've had people give me attitude about having them go back and wash their hands or like sanitize. I know. And I'm the nurse in there. So I'm thinking, God, and you know how you can just sense that attitude. I'm thinking, man, if I'm getting the attitude, Lord help this mother. Does anybody else have anything they feel like they might struggle with or need advice on as far as communicating what their boundaries are with baby? Elizabeth saying kissing. Yeah. Oh, no kissing baby. Yeah. I mean, as far as it really is what you're comfortable with, I was fine with as long as people wash their hands and they didn't have, like, they for sure weren't sick or anything. And I didn't want them kissing on the baby. Now, again, my mother never listened to me ever. And I just had to pray over my baby that God would just protect him from germs. But I would let them as long as they wash hands. But you guys are in a good place because it's not like when I had babies, if I would have asked them to wear a mask, it would have been extremely awkward, right, Taylor? Like pre-COVID, that wouldn't have. But what I would do is if you're letting visitors come over, have a box of masks, make it easy, sanitizer mask. If they use sanitizer, I'm just going to say this because this is a pet peeve. If you do not rub it in until it's dry, it's not as effective. So they need to not just do it real quick and come with wet hands. I'm going to make sure it's dry so it's effective.
Can I just add something quickly?
Oh, go ahead.
As a doula, so like I have a lot of winter births coming up. And I'm obviously, by the sounds of me, I'm navigating my child being in school in JK and it's a germ fest and like all of this. And so I've had to put into place this winter, like, how am I going to navigate being at a birth and with these new parents and their boundaries around sickness and cold? And like, you know, it's a lot, like trying to figure out everyone else's comfort level. And like, I don't want them to feel like I'm judging them or anything like that. Transparency has been like my number one thing. Like I've had to go to my clients and be like, listen, I have a backup doula. If my child is sick, but I am symptom free, do you want me attending your birth? Like going through all these scenarios. And then in our prenatals, like, do you want me to wear a mask? Do you want me to be like all of these, like just straight up questions of like, none of this like beating around the bush of like, so I know that times are like, whatever, just like, I don't know, just like to the point. Like I feel like when we get into the, like having these discussions or whatever, we retract into this feeling of like, I don't want to upset anyone or whatever, but like a straight statement or a straight question is just the best way to go about it. And I felt overwhelmed going into this winter as well, being like, oh my goodness, like, I don't want any of my like clients who have a baby. And when I go to visit them postpartum, like maybe they don't want me there in that postpartum visit because my kid's in JK and she's a germ head. Like, you know, navigating that even as a doula right now feels overwhelming because I'm like, I want to make sure that they're respected and whatever they're doing in their home is okay for them. And what's okay for you does not have to be okay for your sister or your sister-in-law. Like it doesn't.
Yeah, I agree. So I like that, to be direct for sure. And decide like what your boundaries are. Like even you might hear some of us talking that have way firmer boundaries than you feel you need for you. You don't need to be like, oh, should I be doing that? Like, is that what I should do? No, decide what's good for you and what's comfortable for you. The good thing about newborns, especially ones who are breastfed, is that their immunity is pretty spot on when during that initial period. But again, I personally wouldn't advise people kissing your baby on the face or even the hands, because they put their hands in their mouth a lot.
We've been teaching, my nephew is almost 5 months now. And even from the get-go, like teaching Ivy, who's baby obsessed, like we don't kiss his mouth. We don't kiss his hands. Like you can kiss his feet. You can kiss the top of his head. Like even with my 4-year-old, just teaching her those general things. And we're pretty laid back between my family and my sister-in-law's. We spend a ton of time together. My in-laws live in my basement. Like we're kind of all conjoined in that sense. So oftentimes if my kid has a virus, my niece has the same virus, the nephew's exposed to it. Like it just, we are together a ton, but even within that family dynamic and that, like we have boundaries. Like I haven't seen my nephew or my sister-in-law for over a week and a half because we've been battling whatever this is, and she's not going to bring her baby around there. But even teaching my 4-year-old. So like, that's another thing too. If you have kids that are in school and then you're welcoming a second baby, how are you going to navigate that? You know, how are you going to teach them how to interact with their sibling? Cause you can't keep them completely separate from the baby, and they're going to school with all these germs that are floating around too.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and another thing that I wanted to talk about, so we've talked about holding, you need to set up your boundaries on that and on visitation. And even if it is the holidays that you guys are having the baby, if you don't want visitors for a few weeks, that's okay. That's fine. That's your choice. And, you know, put up the barriers and the blockades. So if someone, you know, if they're not coming and you're not seeing them, then stay off of Facebook. Don't text so you don't have to hear their reactions to it. And if they're bombarding you with emotions or whatever, just say, hey, I love you, but I'm going to ask that you don't text me about this subject anymore. You know, just protect yourself, because it's a really important time that you need to be nurturing yourself and your new little family. Another thing that Taylor and I were talking about today, and I'm going to talk about visitors again in a second, but one thing is updates. So one thing that a lot of my students share that drives them crazy is at the end of the pregnancy, the constant request of updates. And like someone posted in, I can't remember where it was, because gosh, I've been answering so many different things, but someone was saying that the mother-in-law is constantly like, have you had the baby? Have you had the baby? She's like, I'm not going to tell you I had the baby. Like, it's not going to be a big secret, you know? So one of our students, what we recommended to her, and it worked really well, was having like a group text that maybe your partner is in charge of and can maybe do a daily update, so that you're not being bombarded with, are you still pregnant? Is that baby here yet? You know, all of those things, because that can get old real fast. And then if you go past your due date, it is upped, I mean, tremendously. Like people just aren't used to people going past their due date nowadays, because everybody gets induced, especially in the US. I don't know about Canada, but I would definitely set up boundaries about updates. So one thing that I've recommended to a lot of people, you can even set up a Facebook group, you know, and baby girl updates, baby updates, whatever. And then, you know, one of you guys can post in there daily. The other thing that you can do is you don't have to tell people when you go into labor or when you're going into the hospital. You don't. That's your right. So if you don't want to do that, you can definitely hold off on telling people and tell them after the baby comes, and that'll keep you from getting bombarded. You know, and the other thing is your partner needs to be there and present for you while you're in labor. So maybe talk about that as well. Like that is something I think I talk about in the coach class, I'm pretty sure. As far as them updating and, you know, maybe even there's, you know, one person who runs the Facebook group and your partner sends the message to them and they update the group, you know, but you do not want 20,000 texts while you're in labor. Promise. That Rachel said, my sister is due tomorrow. My mother-in-law is driving me crazy, asking every day if baby's still here. See? And yes, it's such a thing. Anybody else like that's Rhoda, did you go through any of that? She's still on? Thought I saw her.
Sorry, I was trying to put Maddie down. What was it?
I was just wondering, at the end of your pregnancy, did you feel like people are driving you crazy trying to ask if baby had gotten here or?
Actually, no, not really. I mean, I had a few calls and a few texts from family or friends, but I wouldn't say it was overwhelmingly a lot.
Yeah, I think, again, this really depends on your family and friends as well. And, you know, where they're at in having their babies or if, you know, having grandchildren or what have you, or their knowledge even about pregnancy. But I know for a couple of my students that have decided that they're going to wait on labor no matter what, even if they go to 42 weeks, they get even random strangers asking them stuff. So just set those boundaries up. You know, again, I always tell you guys, start having the conversations early. Kayla said they wouldn't tell our families I was being induced until we were admitted in the hospital. Yeah, and you don't have to. It's your right. It's okay. You're not doing anything wrong. So I want to keep these to 45 minutes, which we're already pushing. So the last thing I wanted to talk about is visitors that come to see you. I say this all the time, so I probably sound like a broken record to some of you guys, but they're not coming just to sit and snuggle the baby. Like, they need to come with a purpose. So I wrote down some things. They can bring you a meal. They can bring you Christmas cookies. They can pick up some groceries on the way over, help do some laundry, run errands for you, help with your holiday decorating, cleaning your house, wrapping your presents. Like, it's okay to ask for help, you guys. Like, it is okay. And if it's someone who's coming over that you don't feel comfortable asking for help, they probably don't need to be coming into that cocoon at that time. Taylor, you have any recommendations on that?
I just think I think it is slowly changing this expectation that like we just show up and think that we can hold the baby. I just think we need to change that a bit, because I do think that in the past it was very much like expected that, you know, you're gonna get to your in-laws or your niece or your nephew in a couple hours of them being home and seeing them and no offer of anything else. And like, now I just feel like that is so bizarre to show up to someone who just had a baby or who just had major surgery or whatever it is without the offer of like, can I bring you something? Yeah. Like even just like a coffee or a tea or any of that. Like, I don't know. I'm hoping that this idea and concept of this is slowly changing.
Yeah.
Because it's just frustrating.
I think for me, it depended on the circle of people that were coming over. So I found like a lot of the people from my church, they would come with a purpose, like bringing a meal or something to do for us. But I think it's okay for you guys to set that standard and say to them, like, hey, I know you want to come see the baby. Do you mind? Blah, blah, blah.
And also, just,
yeah, what were we gonna say?
Sorry, I was gonna say, like, for me, like my close friends too, I got to the point where like I didn't expect them to come and do all that. Sometimes I honestly just wanted them to sit on the couch and like hold my baby so I could have my tea and chat with them and gossip and catch up on The Bachelor, whatever it was. Like, sometimes I didn't want to have people like doing all the things for me, and I simply just did want company and interaction and adult interaction. So like, that is okay too, to just want that as well. But I do think, like, for myself, when I think back to Ivy's postpartum, my mom was still working and so was my mother-in-law, and they're both retired now. And so when my sister-in-law just had her baby, I saw the difference in like the involvement with her and her baby and realizing like I never had that with Ivy, mainly because both my mom and my mother-in-law were still working full time. And so like thinking about like future babies that, yeah, like I am definitely going to be able to delegate that to that task to my mom. But like when Ivy was born, like I didn't have that really because they were working all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully this has got you guys kind of stimulated thinking about like some of the things that you want, even if your baby's not due around the holidays. Like, I think it's still really good thought starters, because putting, like, I know sometimes we tend to put the uncomfortable things off and then it makes it so much harder on ourselves. And so the thing that I most want you guys to hear me saying is that it's your boundaries and your decisions, and who cares what anyone else thinks? This is your little family and you have a right. Really, the only person that weighs in heavily would be your partner. And you guys definitely need to be on the same page. And I've been there where I've had a partner that I'm not on the same page at all. So I do understand that aspect as well. So, you know, getting creative in that sense, you know, is a little difficult. So if anybody's in that boat, I hate it for you and I'm sorry. But yeah, like coming to agreement, and like Kayla said, like Steve doesn't quite agree with her, but he respects her enough. Uh-oh, my dog's about to raise. Right. He expects, you know, Chris, hey, come here. He respects her enough to hold those boundaries. Hold on.
I'll pipe in here while you go to your dog. This isn't just the holidays and just the newborn phase. Isn't going to be the first time you have to do this with your baby, your child, your toddler, your kid in school. Like, this is just the beginning of having to accept that not everyone's going to parent the same way as you. Not everyone's going to make the same decision as you. Along the way, you're going to offend someone. You might hurt their feelings or whatever the case is, but this is not going to be the first and only time that you're going to have to have these uncomfortable conversations as a parent. It's just the beginning, because even with a four-year-old, I'm still having to talk to family members about like, hey, I don't want to swear around my child or whatever the case is. Like these hard conversations and different ways that we parent doesn't start, like it starts there. It's not just about the holidays, not just about the newborn thing. It continues on through all of parenthood. So if you can practice it now, it becomes a lot easier as they get older.
Yeah, am I muted? I agree. Sorry about the dog, you guys. All right, you guys have a great day and be sure to come tonight to the labor coping class that we're doing at 6. It's one of my favorites. All right, I'll see you guys. Thanks, Taylor.